Hey, everybody, what's going on? We're here, we're live, and it's finally happening. She's not sick, I'm not sick, and we have some stories to tell you. The one and only Bobby Brown, look, I don't even know what the hell side I'm going here. Bobby Brown is next to me in Louisiana, and we got a lot to catch up on. It's been a few years since we've actually sat and talked like this.
Yeah.
But before we talk to Bobby, I tell everybody about Bombers and Sleeves. They are the lifestyle apparel brand, and they're dedicated to bringing you the war on self-doubt. This is for the bold, the fearless, and the authentic souls who never back down and wear it on their sleeves. Bomb your boundaries today at bombersandsleeves.com. Well, everybody, she's here. She's my cherry pie. She's your cherry pie. And she is cherry pie until she dies. The one and only Bobby Brown. Bobby, how?
What?
I would say, how the hell are you? But I already know. So what's going on?
Just dodging bullets, bae. You know what I'm saying?
Literally.
No fucking for real, literally.
All right. We got so much to freaking talk about. I don't even know where to begin. So let's begin. Let's go back. The scary part is the last time we actually did one of these interviews, it might be 2 years, because
I feel like it was right when you messaged me hey, I'm sitting here with Jamie Kennedy, and I had a stupid crush on him for one sec, and I think that was the last time. And then I was doing stand up, and then COVID hit, and I moved across country and got a stalker and almost died. So yeah, I think that's what
Yeah. That's funny. I actually just heard from Jamie the other night, as a matter of fact, because he had a new movie that came out.
Interesting.
Yeah. The funny thing is, so I'm in Nashville now. I moved to Nashville from Philly, and went through a pretty ugly divorce. And
oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't know that.
Yeah. And most of my stuff, which I don't even know if I still own, is back in Pennsylvania. But some of the belongings I do have.
Oh shit! Look at you.
I still got my Brooks.
That Jamie Kennedy chapter then, right?
Yeah, I didn't read the new book yet.
Oh shit! Okay, well you have to, because you're gonna laugh your ass off.
Interesting. Very interesting.
You're in it.
Really?
Yes.
Why the fuck don't I know this? So you didn't tell me that.
Well, you gotta read the fucking book, babe. What's up?
All right, now I got to start reading the book tonight.
Or actually listen to the audio version, because it's so much better. Because it's how I talk to you is how I read the book. So it's so much more personal and funnier that way, I think.
Oh, this is too funny. Yeah, I like audiobooks better now. It's a lot easier, because you can just really, especially since it's you reading it, you can dive into it more.
Yeah, and I do voices, and I do the inflections of the moment. I feel it's so much more personal.
That's too funny. So, actually, we had reconnected after my move to Nashville. We started texting last year, and you were driving to Louisiana, and you were fuck it, I'm moving to Louisiana. And I'm what? I was blown away. You're I'm going home.
You know, COVID hit, I freaked out. And I was if I never get to see my family again, I'll never fucking forgive myself. And will a career hold my hand in a hospital bed? Or, no, it won't. And I told you earlier, I saw a documentary. It's ask yourself this question if you need an answer. On one hand, can you name 5 people you can depend on in a crisis? And I couldn't name any living there. And I said, okay, so the question to, the answer to my question is, I got to move. I got to go be with my family. Who knows what's going to happen tomorrow? The world's going fucking crazy. COVID, you can't even be around your family members if you get it or what. It was just so scary. And so I just went, I'm A, going to get closer to my family, get closer to God. I have no plan. I moved here. I had no place to go. No job. No, I just moved here and just went book it. I'm just going to go for it. And I did. And like I was telling you earlier, you know, it's like been the best and the worst of circumstances. Like, I'm so close with my kid, and we hang out and we're like, we laugh and crack each other up and like have had more time together than ever. There's my stepdad. See him?
Hey.
Yeah. Yep. With my family and my mom and my stepdad, and, you know, making bonds in ways that I've never had before. And yet then I move here, and then, you know, I get a malignant, obsessed female stalker who, you know, became me, took me over, violated me, took over 40 of my accounts, and then tried to kill me with a 38 with a laser at 3 a.m. So that being said, like, you know, took over my phone, my had cameras on my TV, would show up 300 yards away, not 100 yards away after the restraining order. It's just been a lot, right? She could verify me more than I could myself.
Let's dive right into this whole crazy circus that has happened to you. So the thing I heard and you had announced on social media, and I was super happy and excited for you, was that you had started a talent agency.
That's right. Yeah. So I came here with this amazing idea, and it is an amazing idea and was an amazing idea. And this girl had supposedly a magazine, which was not a real thing, but it was online. So I reached out to her and I went, "Hey, I'm Bobby Brown. I'm back in town. I had this great idea." She's like, "Let me interview you." And within 3 hours, she bought my domain name, my talent agency name, bought an LLC, opened 3 businesses in my name. And I was like, whoa, what the fuck? You know, like, I wasn't, wow, what do you want from me? You know, like, what, like, what do I owe you? Like, what's up? Like, do you want to be my partner? Do you, like, what is this? "Oh, no, I'm just doing this to be nice. I'm just trying to help you." I'm like, this, not used to that.
Right.
Being that nice. Like, what do you want from me? And she was like, "All my exes were straight and blonde." And I was like, zero fucks given. Like, honestly, that's, you know, never going to happen. So, like, what's up? And basically, she told me in a message that she wanted to be Mrs. Bobby Brown. And when I rejected her advances, she decided to try and ruin my life. And I've been down this roller coaster with these kind of fucking people before. Like, there's been many sociopaths on my doorstep before, but none so IT savvy. And I didn't even know that she was, you know, watching me on my TV for a month. I didn't even know that, like, she was following my every move in my phone. Like, I had no idea, because I'm such a trusting person anyway, to my own fault, right? Like, I'm a very trusting person, and it is a problem. Not anymore. It is a lesson I've learned. But I remember day 2 saying to my mom, like, "I'm not afraid of people, but, like, something tells me I should be afraid of her." Like, my intuition. And my mom was like, no, it's not like LA. And I was like, okay, maybe you're right. Like, she talked me off the ledge. But I was right. My intuition was deadly right. And within 3.5 weeks' time, she had compromised all of my accounts, changed my own Wi-Fi. I was blaming the fucking weather. You're like, oh, the hurricanes are fucking me up, you know? Like, I can't even get on my... can't even get on my internet. Like, the fucking weather here is so bad. Like, I'm just so trusting, right? And then, so one day, the day before the gun thing happened, I called her to my mom's house, and I go, I'd written 2 pages of things that, like, I felt uncomfortable about. What do you want from me? You've opened this web page. You've started collecting monies at his talent agency. I have no logins. We have no contracts. We have no agreements together. What the fuck do you want from me? Why is my picture your screensaver? And why have you glued one of me on the back of your phone? Like, all these things make me feel weird, right? All of these things I don't understand. All of these things, I need to know what this is, right? And she started to hysterically cry. This is 3.5 weeks. Hysterically cry. I'm looking at her like, what the fuck is happening right now? She goes, you don't even know what today is. And I go, I don't even know the fucking date. Like, why would I know? Why would I know what today is for you? Like, I've known you for 3 weeks. She goes, it's our 3 week friendiversary. Yo, I was like, what? Wait. What? Like, okay, you're not going to like the response I'm about to give you, but,
oh, shit.
What the fuck? So, essentially, she pours out her purse. She dumps her purse out, right? About her feelings, and I kick him to the curb, right? Obviously. I'm like, I'm sorry that all your exes were straight and blonde, but it's never going to fucking happen. Give me the logins to all my shit. What the fuck? Like, what is this? So, apparently when you're a malignant narcissist and you confront them, they get real, real, real mad, and they're dangerous. Didn't know that. Didn't know that. Of course, I'm like, what the fuck? You know, I'm so confrontational. Pissed her off. She shows up at my house at 3 a.m, demands to be let in, and I'm all half asleep, dosed with my Xanax, like, what the fuck's going on? You know? And she's sitting there, her flash goes off. I catch her taking, her flash goes off on her phone, catches me by surprise. I look behind me, she's taking photos of my passwords on my iPad. And I'm like, what the fuck, right? So I confront her, and she gets real smug and weird, like super calm. I was like, whoa, what's up? She's like, do not fucking yell at me. I'm all, this is fucking yelling, like a psycho. Doesn't even flinch, dude. I'm like, wow. You need to get the fuck out of here right now. She's like, cool. I just gotta go to the bathroom. I'm like, fine, go to the bathroom, get the fuck out of here. I'm grabbing my keys. She's nowhere to be found. She goes all the way across my condo into my master into the bathroom, which is like not okay with me. Like, you're never invited into my private, you know, sanctuary
right.
Bathrooms. The guest bathroom is right there. I walk, I'm looking for her, I'm like, hello. I see my dog shaking like she's having a seizure. And I'm like, oh my God, what's going on with my dog? I look up and I see the devil. Like, the mask was off. And she looked like, she was like seething with disgust. And I looked at her and I was like, oh my God, you don't even like dogs. Like, you don't like dogs. She's like, I don't. I guess I like chihuahuas. I'm like, you need to get the fuck out of here. Right? I'm thinking to myself, what am I dealing with? Like, I'm scared. I'm freaked out. But
right. So
I walk around. She's supposedly behind me. I grab my keys. I go to open my garage door. I turn around. Not there. Hello? Hello? And my neighbor, who I've never met, who I was told goes jogging at 4 a.m. every morning, just so happened to Angel Ann at that very pivotal moment comes jogging past. Right? Because homegirl's coming out finally, and she's like, hey, I left my keys inside. Can you help me come in and find my keys? Right then, Anne passes, and I'm like, oh, hey, Anne. Like, oh, I heard you, you know, like, interaction with her. Homegirl's like, so what about the keys? I go, no, fuck you. Click the clicker. She has to run out of the garage. I walk in to a loaded 38 on my kitchen table. So within 30 seconds, she had walked out of my bathroom, put the gun on the table, and tried to coerce me to go back inside to help her find the keys that she had.
Oh.
So, okay. I'm fucking tripping balls at this point. Like, what? Is this a joke? Is this like, I pick it up, it's loaded. So I take a million pictures of it and then just text my mom and go, it's the craziest shit that's happened. I know it's fucking hella early, but I'm on my way over. On my way to my mom's is when I know she's in my phone because my Bluetooth is connected to my car. I get a message. It says Bobby Brown replied. I'm just fucking driving. I'm like, oh my God. And I had to travel to California 8 hours later to go shoot a sizzle reel for a new reality show that I'm doing. And I look like a fucking crazy person. My parents are elderly. They're not IT savvy. They think I'm fucking writing a new show. You know, they're just like, what? I'm like reeling, running around the house, like, oh my God. Like, just, it was, and it's still going. It's still going. Like, the FBI still has my phone. They destroyed her weapon on Christmas Day. She used my photo to sell fucking dildos. She's cleaned out every bank account, every PayPal account, every store, every merch. She stole my merch, recreated my merch, sold it online. I go to the police department, I open a magazine, and there's my photo promoting a rock show this coming March that I don't even fucking know about. I'm like, what the fuck? I open it, I'm like, okay, so let's just start with this. Like to the extent of how advanced she was, like, I do not doubt that I've been the first or the last person she's done this to. Maybe the most famous or celebrity, who knows?
Right.
I'm sure other people just went like, fuck her, man, fuck. And just like ghosted her. But this is literally been devastating. Like, I have wanted to move away, go off the grid. I've been depressed. And then my daughter just went like, this is not you. You're the strongest woman I know. Fuck her. She could never be you. She's in your accounts. Fuck it. You will, like, the light always comes out from the darkness, and the truth will always come to light. And you're so, you know, this is just a setback. This only woke the bitch in you. Like, you cannot let this person take your life. And literally, for a minute there, I was like, I didn't shower. I didn't get out of bed. I couldn't be me. You know what I mean?
Wow.
Online or anywhere. I was depleted of my money. I had no... It was devastating. Like, honestly, it was devastating. But let me tell you something. If it's taught me anything, it's to follow my gut. That I'm fucking stronger than her. Nobody can be me. She could never be me. She's got blonde hair, blue contacts, and a dog like mine now. However, never gonna be me. Can't be me. And she got a lot of money. Got a lot of good contacts. But... You know, you can't carry on a facade forever. And now that, you know, I have such a supportive family and my daughter and I have my accounts back finally and I have a show I'm working on and the third book is essentially writing itself. Right? And I have like some stand up material. Fuck yeah. I just need to stand up somewhere. It's just been a blessing and also a learning experience and a curve and I've had to like get with God for real because there was a point where I was like, there's nobody I can give this to. I don't know who else to like just take this because I don't know what to do anymore. And so weird. Like, I used to be into, like, I know I'm just blabbing, but you're the first person I've talked to in so long. I used to be, like, into, like, occult stuff, like, do tarot stuff, and I came to realize that that was, like, not good. Like, it is real, but it does not protect you, right? So what I learned, I haven't done that. I've denounced that a long time ago, but it is a real thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it does tell you true things. However, you are not protected when you do those things. So when I started to reach out to God, I got the same answers really fast in detail, but I'm protected. And everything has literally worked out in my favor. I'm just very impatient. So I'm like, what the fuck, Brennan? Literally just out of the blue, the head of the TSO called me on Christmas morning and went like, hey, I was about to file your report away. And, the head of forensics here went to elementary school with you. And, that's not a coincidence. You know what I mean? And she's
right.
Like, tell me the story. And they destroyed her weapon within 2 days. Like, went to her house and went like, you're either going to go to jail or you have to surrender your weapon. And I was just like, oh my God, you're making my Christmas. Like, this came out of nowhere. But that's what my daughter said. Like, you know, the truth will always come to light somehow, some way, if you just be patient, focus yourself in the right way. and you will get the justice you deserve, and don't give up. And I was just like, thank God I have such a wonderful daughter who can talk me off the ledge, because, man, I was teetering on that motherfucker for so many months.
I bet.
I really was.
So how is this person not in jail?
Right. Well, in Louisiana, I guess it's cool to have a gun and carry it any way you want. But coincidentally, because I'd taken so many amazing photos of the fucking gun on my table, because I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, I took so many photos of this gun when I walked in that I happened to get the serial number in one of the photos. And when the head of the TSO called me and said, do you have the photos? I said, yeah. She's like, good job. This weapon was, it's illegal. So, like, she had applied for a gun, but she had last year been arrested for child endangerment, violence, like four other crimes, and had this weapon illegally. So they called her and gave her an option. Do you want to go to jail on Monday, or do you want to surrender this weapon that we know you have? And she was like, I don't have it. She goes, I'm going to ask you one more time. And so then she went, yeah, I'll surrender it. So she surrendered the weapon, and the head of the TSO called me and went, like, we destroyed her weapon. I was like, you just made my Christmas. Oh, my God. But, I mean, it's, like, not hard to get here. Like, everybody carries one. I've never even wanted to even see a weapon. Like, in California, you know, like, I've never held right. a weapon, wanted a weapon, needed a weapon, felt like I had to have a weapon. It's, like, nothing but a thing here. You know what I mean? But, apparently she had this weapon illegally, thank God, and I'm still pursuing the case. So far, all I have is a restraining order, the weapon destroyed, but it's all about proving. So the forensics department has the backup of my computer and all the other shit, and it's a very long process. Plus, people here are very slow. And this is the first supposed celebrity stalking, cyber stalking case they've ever had in Louisiana. So that being said, it's taking a lot longer. Like, the FBI in LA called me like ASAP, like, too bad you moved.
Right.
Right? Sorry. Yeah. So they're still working on it. And
how about all the money she stole from you? Like, they can't prove that?
I mean, literally what I have to do is, like, make a list with a new attorney, with the new detective. Like, I have to go through all the shit. It's just a lot for people to wrap their head around, because, like I said, she is phenomenally IT savvy and good at what she does. I guess she's been a con for a really long time. I don't know. And I'm just the first person who just didn't get scared about it and just be like, ooh, peace out, that I'm trying to do something about it. And it's a lot to prove. It's all about proving. Like, when I was on Ex-Wives of Rock, I knew how to change my IP, log in and pretend like I was in Canada, and we could all watch our show. And everybody thought, oh my God, you're so smart, right?
Right, right.
If anybody's a professional at conning anyone, I don't doubt that this bitch doesn't know that already. Like, I'm not even a con artist trying to do things for bad. But if you are, I'm pretty sure you know those things. So it's been very hard to prove. They're still looking, but, you know, I mean, I'm not even a hacker, and I knew how to do that, you know?
Right, right.
So, that being said, it's just been exhausting, Bay, honestly. It's been exhausting.
Oh, holy shit. Like, you would expect something like this to happen back when you were in L.A.
Right? Like, I had, like, wannabes who tried that shit, but, like, were dumb as fuck. Didn't know anything about IT shit, but they did cause me a lot of drama and stress, but I get a restraining order, and boom. But the IT thing has been a whole nother level, like, of, like, what the fuck, you know? I would go to get a new phone. Like, the people at AT&T didn't even know that it's not even about your SIM or your phone number. It's about your IMEI. So I changed my SIM and my number four times. She's still on my phone. I don't even know that.
Holy shit.
I had to talk to the international FBI, and he's like, oh, no, 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 no. You need to get a fucking new phone. I was like, who knew? Like, I don't know. And when I was going to AT&T to get the new phone, and I was going to exchange my old phone, she had already blacklisted it as stolen, so I couldn't even get a discount on my new iPhone.
Unbelievable. Seriously. Unbelievable.
No, So it's just like been one thing after the next, but let's talk about good shit, man. Like, I want to come out to Nashville and do stand up and like get out again and like have my life again and be funny again and get paid again.
Right? Like, so where do you go from here now? Like, is the talent agency still something on your radar that you want to do?
Honestly, everybody says like that's still so legit, you should do that, but I'm still super violated by it. Like, I'm still getting tax papers for an agency I never even owned right now because of it. Even though it is a great idea and it would have been bomb, like, she kind of fucked that idea for me, and just I just would rather like pursue me. But it was a great idea and it was going to be awesome and it would have been awesome. For right now, I just want to do me. I want to do stand up. I, you know, have a reality show with three of the girls who used to be on X Wives of Rock, plus Gretchen Bonaducci and two other new girls, married to Sebastian. And we have a great show idea that we shot a sizzle for that we're pitching to producers that, we're really hoping to get picked up, and it's bomb ass cast. It's a great conception. We're editing the sizzle, and hopefully we'll get it on the air soon. But it's awesome. It's a feel good show. It's camaraderie. It's helping during COVID. It's awesome. It's called Rock in a Hard Place.
Nice. Now, one thing you know, as we've become friends over the years and done many interviews. You know, you and Athena were, you know, like this, and you had like a parting of the ways for a little bit, but I had saw, I guess it might've been 2 years ago, a year ago, whatever it was, that you guys are back together.
Yeah, we got back together. yeah. Like, she moved to, she moved to Washington and became a nurse again, actually. And before she moved, we hadn't spoken. You knew that whole thing. We had lunch. Nothing was mentioned. Like, it was almost like, oh, hey, girl. Like, nothing was brought up. And it really still hasn't been. But I was doing stand-up and stuff. And then, like, I guess it was like 8 months ago, she sent me a long message like, you were the best friend I ever had. I'm so sorry. You know, like... like, she came forward and was like, I miss you. You're, you know, all those things. And I was like, girl, it was like a breakup when you left. You know what I mean? So yeah. And we've seen each other. We got together for the sizzle filming, and you know, we love each other. We're like sisters, honestly. It was just like, it's so good to see you. Yeah. We haven't talked about the bad blood, but really, I mean, I was in a shitty relationship. She was getting sober. I get it. She gets it. But it doesn't, you know, mean that there was any love lost ever, you know. It's just miscommunication or no communication, actually.
Right, right.
But I get where she was coming from. And, you know, I was in a bad place. And we forgive each other and no love lost, literally.
That's awesome.
I'm sure that'll be a good episode for the new series. Just to like hash through. Probably be a really dope episode. I don't know. But yeah, I miss her. I miss her. I miss all my friends. I miss my life. But I also don't want to leave my family. So it's super weird.
Yeah. Like, do you think of that now? Like, you know, you were back in LA and Hollywood and in the midst of all that hustle and bustle of entertainment. And now you're back in Louisiana in the family element. So it's kind of two different worlds. Do you kind of think to yourself, all right, like, once stuff opens back up, like, I'm not in the mecca center of entertainment world anymore.
It's so hard because nobody here gets it.
Right.
Nobody is in the entertainment realm here. And I've talked to those people and they like are so backwards ass when it comes to like understanding what I may be able to bring to the table, you know, like I'll send them my resume and my bio and they're like, whoa, like we're not like California. And I'm all, yeah, I'm just like looking to get paid. Like, I'm not trying to, you know, compare anything, but, and then I go back to LA for a week and I'm just like nonstop making money, right, making meetings. Like, I go, nobody understands it here. Like, so as much as I love to see my family and be with my mom and my kid and visit them every day, there's so much of me that has no purpose as well. Like, that is my purpose, but, like, I can't make money here. So I fly back to LA, I'll do this, I'll do that, but, like, I hustle. When I lived there, like, I hustled. I was nonstop. I was writing books. I was doing stand-up. I was writing comedy sketches. I was, you know, doing interviews. I was doing national commercials. It's like, nobody knows how to wrap their head around that shit here, man. They're just like, whoa! Okay, what up? You know, so it's super bittersweet. Like, I go back and forth between, what do I do? You know, and my family is like, don't ever leave us again. And I'm like, okay, well, I really need a job. You know? Like, I need somebody to understand my worth here. And it's been weird. And plus, this whole stalker thing's been fucking weird. I'm super, like, looking over my shoulder every 2 seconds. Like, super triggered here.
I can imagine.
Yeah, so it's been weird. It's just been a weird time, and I know that there's a meaning or a reason that I came here and made that decision. I'm sure that I'll figure that out soon enough. I haven't really yet, but I mean, I know it's not for nothing. Obviously, it's something I've needed to learn, and I just, it'll all come about. I just hope it's going to be good and not bad. You know,
to go through all this, there's definitely got to be a friggin' reason behind all this.
Right? I just hope it's
true.
I keep telling people, like, if I commit suicide, look into that shit. You know, myself. You know what I mean? And then I say that in jest, but I don't mean
that.
Literally, like, I know there's a reason behind all of this. I don't really know what it is. I do know that I've had have a very blessed family, and something good's got to happen, because I'm a good person and I only care about helping people and I want the best for people. And my stepdad goes, why do you keep doing this? What the fuck are you talking about? Why do I keep doing this? Why do you keep letting this happen to you? I'm like, are you fucking kidding me? Like, is he right? Like, I know I don't deserve this, but are my eyes open? Is my heart too open? I should have listened to my intuition. Day two said be afraid, and I didn't listen to that. So now when my intuition speaks, I fucking listen. And if that's a message I can say to anybody, is like, when that little voice tells you something, you go, nah, no, don't go nah. There's a fucking reason. That's your spirit speaking to your soul, warning you about what the fuck is to come.
Listen to your heart.
Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, we're taught to second guess all that shit. Like, oh, no, I'm just being crazy. I'm just, you know, I'm being silly. No, when your intuition, your inner voice tells you something, you listen to that shit and don't second guess it, because there's a reason for it. And that has been the lesson I've had to learn the hard way, for sure.
Absolutely.
But I'm alive.
Now, you mentioned another book. Are you going to really do another book? Are you saying that in jest?
Saying that in jest, really, because I haven't even been paid for the second book, if we're being honest. However, the first book has been, I have an amazing team of writers who have written a series of Dirty Rocker Boys, and it's fucking amazing. And we're getting the final, the writing, like, actually this week. It's so good, you're gonna die. Like, so we're gonna be pitching it to major, like, Netflix, Hulu, all of that. But I had the most amazing writers, and I got the first, like, first series, which is that we're shooting it as a series, not like a documentary.
Okay.
And super excited about it, and I feel like it's going to be amazing. And it's been in the works for like a year and a half, and then COVID hit, and it was like, but now it's back on track, and I can't wait for that to happen. That's going to be awesome.
That would be awesome. Just like you said, like for like a Netflix type thing, that would be perfect.
It's so cool, because it's like I'll have to send you like the first year. I'll have to send you the first episode and you'll be like, what the fuck? So visual. It's like, I don't know who would play me, but we've talked about it. But we haven't come to terms with who, but it's like, you know, the first scene opens with me like doing a line of meth, looking in the mirror going, gross, right? This is like, that's how it starts. And it goes back, kind of Tarantino's, kind of like my book does. But it's fucking badass. I think that, I think it's going to be awesome. I'm super excited about that. And then the reality series, like I said, that I'm working on. And book three is just a joke that I say, but it really has been writing itself. If I were to if I were gonna pitch a book three, it's like so easy. All I have to do is just have somebody send this interview to my Caroline and be like, hey, what's up?
Like, I don't know. Yeah, right.
But yeah, just, oh, and I'm also working with this guy who I'm coming out with my own cherry pie strain of pot.
Really?
Yes.
Literally.
No, like literally. Do you remember Chris Crush?
Yeah. Like,
yeah, I don't know the band or whatever, but he's like huge in this dispensary business. His dad died, left him some money. He opened a dispensary with his brother. They're killing it. And he called me. He's like, would you be interested? And I was like, fuck yeah. That's such a great investment. So we've been talking and we're signing papers next week. And I think that's going to be a dope idea. Dope. Literally a dope idea. Like, I just got back from Boulder before everyone was shot, which is horrible. But we just went there and me and my stepdad and my daughter stayed high the whole time. And it was so much fun.
That's hysterical.
I know. And I don't even smoke pot. So I was ridiculous. I was like embarrassing. My daughter was like, this is the funniest shit ever. But it was fun.
You know, it's funny because, like, the whole cherry pie thing, I mean, was there a point, like, it seems like you've totally embraced it. Like, I saw, I think it was on one of your social medias, cherry pie till you die. And that's why I said that in the beginning. And I was just like, was there ever a point, like, we everybody knows, like, what Janie went through, how you kind of came to regret writing that song. Did you ever go through a point, like, regret being the cherry pie girl?
Yeah, I did. I did a TV show and Janie got so mad at me because I was like, I didn't vote for Cherry Pie as opposed to another song. But literally, I was at a point where I was so sick of being like the Cherry Pie girl, just kind of like he was being like, oh, the Cherry Pie guy. I did an interview the other day and I was like, he was such an amazing, talented writer, you know, and Cherry Pie wasn't even on the album. And then, like, Donnie Einar called him at the last second and said, like, we need a Lovin' in the Elevator. Like, we need, like, a poppy anthem-y song for this album. And he went to the bathroom, took a shit, and wrote Cherry Pie on a box. I kid not. And he came out in 5 minutes, and that was Cherry Pie. And he said everything was fucking Cherry Pie, everything, after that. And that wasn't even, like, his... He didn't even give that song an effort. Like, it was just like, and he's like, and forever, ever and ever, I've been the cherry pie guy. And he's like, so much more than that, you know, like,
right.
So much more talent and so much more feeling and so much more depth. And in a way it bummed him out that like, he was forever the cherry pie guy. And he literally took a shit writing that song. You know, but he did end up being like, God, you know, like I just wanted to be known for, you know, more than that. And sure. I get that. And yes, there was a time where I was like, I'm just not that girl all the time. Everybody was expecting me to like come in and crawl on, you know, all hands, you know, my floors, hands and knees, flipping my hair with a bra top on. And I'm like cooking breakfast and putting toothpaste on people's toothbrush. And they're like, well, wait a minute. Where's that girl? I'm like, that's not even fucking a real girl, you know? So it's just a whole stigma that like kind of stuck with us and still does. But yeah, I totally embrace it because that's how people remember me or know me. Or it's not the only thing about me. There's so much more to me, but like, if there's a part of history that anybody goes, oh my God, yeah, I remember that. That's it. you know? And so I do embrace that. That's what makes us have a conversation or me relevant at 53. You know what I mean? Which is not easy to do. But still, like, and I get Jamie's perspective of like why he felt, you know what I mean? Cause listen to like Blind Faith or any of his fucking songs, you know, like any, especially his ballads. There was so much he had to say and everybody was just like the cherry pie guy. So I get that, you know? And God bless him. I mean, he's so missed. He was so talented and he was so underrated. And it was just such a scene back then. But if anybody ever sat down and actually listened to the lyrics of any of the songs that he's ever written, you'd go like, what the fuck? Like just Uncle Tom's Cabin in general. You know what I mean?
I remember the first time I heard that when they were on tour. I think they opened for Poison and before the Cherry Pie album came out and they played that. And I was like, holy shit. Like, this is going to be awesome.
He was like that. He was a storyteller. So Cherry Pie was just like, okay. And he's like, and that's what I've gone down in history as. And he was really so much more than that. And he felt so much more than that. And he was so much more sensitive than that. And he was not that sexist guy at all.
Right.
That big like, whoa, okay, big talker. That was not his style. He was such a down-home guy. And just, you know, that was it. And so I get it. But yeah, I can look at my daughter every day and see his face. We talk about him every day and he's definitely missed, but definitely was underrated as like musician, songwriter, all of that.
Now, how about, we had talked in the past, like, the rest of the guys had given you a hard time a lot. They still, talking their shit over there or?
Oh, no, they're always talking shit. They always be talking shit. Yeah, I don't even know that it's them per se. I think it's their wives. But to me, it's like, how dumb. Like, we could come together and make some bank, but that's on you. Like, whatever. You know, the thing is they try to be all uppity. I'm all, yo, you would not have a life or a career if it wasn't for Janie and him giving you 5% of the publishing. The end, mic drop. Boom.
Right.
Like, you know, like my, what the fuck are you saying? Like, shut the fuck up. So they hate that I'm so vocal and say those things, but it's the fucking truth. You know, Warrant would not be Warrant if it was not, if there was no Janie Lane. You would not still have a paycheck if there was no Janie Lane and his generosity. Cause he didn't have to share the publishing with you. You didn't write the song or the music or any of it. He was being a friend. You're welcome.
Mic drop.
My job.
Now, something else you did, I guess it was last year, instead of Cherry Pie, you went to Apple Pie in the Early Ray video.
Right. Stevie Rochelle, I think, is really good friends with those guys, and he was like, oh, God, these guys love you. Will you do a cameo in their video? And I was like, fuck yeah, you know, of course. So I did. And it was cute. I thought I looked cute. I looked cute. I got paid. Props to them. Like, yeah, I'm totally down. Especially if you're paying me. If you're paying me, I'm totally down. But I mean, Stevie's still a really good friend of mine and he always has my back. And it was a good song.
It was.
It came out good. Yeah. And I thought that was a cute, cheeky little, like, you know, like wink, wink at the end, kind of like, all right. So, yeah.
It worked. It definitely worked.
I mean, I thought it was cute.
That's awesome. They
worked around my schedule. We're totally easy. Like, I'm not always the easiest to work with, bullshit, but I am. I kind of not be too, but they were very, and it was super easy, and they were so sweet. So sweet.
That's awesome. So anything in the immediate future for you now? Are you just, you know, waiting to hear if anything is going to happen with the people getting arrested, reality shows happening, possible comedy shows?
That's a fingers crossed. Hopefully somebody will be arrested. Reality show, Rock and a Hard Place. We're pitching right now. It's super awesome. Me, Athena, Charisse, Suzanne Bach, Conchita, and Gretchen Bonaducci. And we're like rebooting towns from COVID. Like we're going into the town, girl squad, and trying to reboot, help people, like, you know, going to Lake Charles. We're being hit by a hurricane. Like, it's just going to be like a badass rock and roll girl squad who is trying to help people, like, after COVID and after hurricanes. Like, everybody's had, like, the worst year. And girl power plus sincere camaraderie and intention. I mean, who wouldn't want to see that show? You know what I mean?
That's a great concept. I love it.
Thank you. I'll send you the link to the sizzle.
Cool.
And I think you'll love it as well. So we're mid-edit sizzle and hope to, you know, be pitching it to production companies soon. But like anybody who sees it, I can't imagine anyone going, yeah, that's fucking lame. Like everybody needs help right now. We're a badass team, a crew, and helping people. Like who hates that? Who doesn't need help right now? Nobody.
Exactly.
Yeah. So, so I think it's a great idea, and that's what I'm working on right now, and hopefully come out and do comedy in Nashville with you. And I'm trying to get my podcast actually re-picked up again. After Homegirl took it. But now it's my daughter and I. My daughter's fucking, if you think I'm crazy, have a crazy mouth, have a retard, like a silly mind, she and I can tit for tat, like in the grossest, repulsive, embarrassing, hilarious way that my brother literally jumps out of the group chat like 20 minutes in. He's all like, he's just like, I can't. Like, wow. She's hilarious. So she took over Charisse's spot when I was doing Sweet and Sour Hour. And my girl's the tits. She's like, I think she's actually worse than me, like potty mouth. Like somebody said yesterday to me on Instagram, you're a has-been. You haven't been hot since the 90s. Anyone that tells you you're beautiful is just kissing your ass. And I was like, oh, my God. My daughter went in with the like harshest, who thinks that way, like attacked this person so hard with the cruelest, meanest shit that I would even think of, and that person like literally deleted their person. Like she went so hard at them that I was like, oh, my stepdad's like, oh my goodness. And I was like, holy shit. And then the person deleted their profile and their comments. And I was like, oh my God.
Holy shit. Okay.
She's like, I'll clap back at that motherfucker all day long. And I'm like, oh my God. She's hilarious. Cause I can't, I won't. But she's like, what, who the fuck is it? Like, she's so protective. She's so awesome. I just love
now, her. Does she have any desire to like go into the world of entertainment?
No, not even. Madison, Janie's youngest daughter, does. She's covered a couple of his songs, and I've promoted those. She wants to be a singer, but Taylor's like, get the camera away from me. I have tried to talk her into being on my shows. She will do the podcast because it's not a visual, and she's fucking hilarious. And she's beautiful. She's just so hard on herself. I mean, if you see her profile, she's Yayler on Instagram. My daughter's beautiful, but she's so okay with being self-deprecating and like making the ugliest faces. And she literally gets off of taking the worst photos of me and posting them. And I'm like, really, dude? She's like, it's just amazing. And she like, she's like, if I'm like, go to the dentist and can't speak and my tongue's hanging out of my mouth because I had 4 shots and I'm talking with a lisp. She's like, oh my God. Like, she just loves it. So
It's been amazing being here with her and my mom, and we're just cracking each other up. But I would like to make some money, so call me out to come do some stand up. Let's do this podcast shit. I'm in. I'm all in.
There you go. That sounds like a plan.
Awesome. Well, you look great, Bae. I'm glad you're happy.
Thanks, Bobby. Yeah, it's I came to a reality in life. Like I was doing an interview, and somebody said to me, like, you know, you've done, you know, pro wrestling, you played in a band, you do your podcast, you've done all this stuff. Like, what is there in life you want to do? And I was like, it hit me instantly. I'm like, I just want to fucking be happy. Like, I just want happiness in my life. And I realized, like, I was never happy. And I found happiness.
That sucks. I'm sorry. I know how you feel. I often feel that way, too. I'm like, I just feel like I need a purpose. I want to be happy. And there's moments of happiness. But, like, I feel like happiness would be to get paid to do what we love, to be ourselves, and to be with our kids.
Right.
And that would be happiness, right? Like, to be paid to be yourself, do what you love, and to be around your loved ones at all times. Can't we just fucking get that? How hard is that? It's kind of hard sometimes.
It sounds so easy, but it's not.
It isn't, I know. Well, I know we didn't get to meet in Burbank when y'all came in that time, but hopefully we can meet in Nashville and do this whole thing. Until, if you see my Nashville buddy, John Karabi, I said, hey.
Yeah, I got to, like, get together with John. Like, we're two Philly boys. We should be hanging out here in Nashville.
For real. Like, seriously, just hit him up on Insta. I'm sure he'll get right back to you.
I'm going to do it.
You should, because he's so awesome. He's been in touch with me ever since the Motley days. Like, for real. He's an awesome guy. And his son, too.
Yeah, actually, his son was playing with Jeff LaBar's son from Cinderella, and another buddy of mine from Philly. They were playing in Tantric for a while.
Well, yeah. I saw with his dad when I hosted some rock fest that the guy ended up taking all the money and leaving. I forget what that was. It was like 5 years ago. But yeah, Ian is like, I think he's a drummer. And he's, yeah, so you should totally hit them up because they would probably be good friends of yours. And Christian, who's also a good friend of mine, who's now the lead singer of Blind Melon, who lives there.
Okay.
Yeah, I used to live with Chris. He took me in when I was, like, homeless. Me and Taylor, like, way back in the day. He's, like, one of the nicest, realest, authentic people you'll ever meet.
Okay. See that? So this is another reason why you need to come to Nashville is help me make more friends.
Honestly, if you just say, Bobby Brown said I should reach out to you, she had said nothing but wonderful things about you, you will have 2-3 instant, amazing human being friends in your life. For real. Like, and when I come there, I intend on seeing every single one of those people.
Well, let's make this happen.
Let's do it.
Cool, cool. Cool, cool. Bobby, great catching up with you. I wish there was not all the psycho drama that you've had to go through.
Hey, never a dull moment, right?
That's an understatement.
It's going to be good. We're gonna come out on top, I think. Pretty sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Where should we send everybody to? Where's the best place they can find you? That is you. It's really you.
Somebody said the other day, will the real Bobby Brown stand up? I'm like, first of all, that's not how you spell my name. Secondly, it's really me, at Brown Bobby. And my Facebook and my Twitter are all back in my name, Bobby Jean Brown. So at Brown Bobby on Insta, it's actually me. Again, finally.
Awesome. Yeah, I was scared to message you for the longest time. I was like, I don't know who I'm going to talk to.
Honestly, like, for real, somebody's like, I don't even know how to contact you. I go, there really was no way to contact me until last week, so it's okay. But yeah, so and then I posted all that shit, you know, about what's been going on, and slowly but surely I'm getting back into my life, getting Bobby's life back. It's pouring down fucking rain here. Do you hear this?
I do.
Yeah. Kind of nice when you want to be sleepy, but
it's still early. Bobby, great seeing you. Let's talk. Keep in touch, and let's make it all happen.
Okay.
All right, now